Thank you. Thank you. Love you, brother. Bless you. It's good to be with you, and it's an honor always to come back to New Life. And so welcome, everyone, tonight. We're glad that you're here, and we know that God's going to meet you tonight. God's going to speak to us, and I just got a real word from the Lord, so I'm excited for that. Is that all right to be excited for that? And I want to, if we could, there's a video I have that's up there. And I actually have about four of them. Can you just say them to me? I know TSM Miracles, Passion Montage. Yeah, okay. You know what? Let's do the one in Wisconsin. Now, let me explain this. I shared a little of this last night, but we ministered in Wisconsin. Someone brought a woman that was in a wheelchair. And a power wheelchair. She couldn't feed herself, clothe herself, bathe herself for 10 years. And she had muscular dystrophy, and she was dying. They had already started writing out her last will and testament, planning her funeral. She was 38. The doctor said she'll never see 40. No chance of seeing 40. And not a single chance. And so she was planning her funeral. And so her girlfriend went and got her and said, you got to come. And not just a prayer request, you got to be here. And you got to be in the presence of God here. And so they went and they had to send for a special disabled vehicle to fetch her from this disabled home for the disabled. And so they went and they brought this woman to the meetings. And in the middle of the meetings, the Lord gave me the strangest word of knowledge I think He had ever given me. I said, there's someone here. He said, you have parasites. No one moved. So I made it even a little bit harder on the Lord, I guess. I just said, you have bugs. I don't know how else to say it. You got bugs. And when I said that, she kind of waved her hand like this. I'm like, you know, and she's like, come over here. And so I had to walk over to her. And I walked over to her and she said, the way this started is I got a parasite. And when I got this parasite, I got muscular dystrophy. And she said, I haven't stood or walked in 10 years. Now, watch this. I think you'll like the rest of it.
Everything that's been damaged, the electrical system, he holds
running here for you. She's a thing. How's it feel? Good? Is it feel good?
Yeah.
Now discuss me. Discuss me.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Jesus, she is. Come. This one. You can do it. Look at this.
How's it feel now? So you've had MS, and so the first time you walked in 10 years, how's it feel now? You're not shaking as much, right?
No, it's just, I don't know, free.
Yeah, you feel free. Yeah, bless you. Awesome. Come on, somebody give her a big hand. Come on. Awesome. You came up, when you came up, you were really shaking, and now, nothing. No tremors. How do you feel as far as like tingling and heat and stuff like that in your body? And
I don't hurt that much.
No?
No.
That's awesome, girl.
I'm tired a little bit.
Are you? That's the first time you did that in 10 years, so,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
no, I have not walked. I could maybe go 50 feet with forearm crutches.
Wow.
Without, sitting down or whatnot.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's awesome, right? Is that a great miracle?
They said I would never walk again.
Come on. Come on, somebody. Take it home with her. She said, I'm never touching it ever again. And there it sits in the church.
Oh, okay. Hey, this is Tom. Listen, last night we had just such a great miracle here in Wausau, Wisconsin. And our friend here, help me with your name.
My name is Jenny.
Jenny went and brought her friend last night, and her friend got dramatically healed, walked out of her wheelchair. Tell me what you just told me at the door.
She is surprising her sister. She's going to go to Madison. Her sister's taking the bar and is going to be standing outside to surprise her when she comes out from taking the bar.
But she's at the doctor's
office. She's at the doctor's office right now. She said this morning she feels great. She's blown away and just can't believe it and is super excited.
And so she's gonna go talk to her mom, you said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So she's going to surprise
sister,
her mom.
Yep, she doesn't know yet.
Wow.
She's surprise them both.
This is God. Listen, this is the time of the kingdom. And so we just love to see what the Holy Spirit does in miracles, in blessing people. So I pray this inspires you and really touches your heart.
What is your name again?
Angie.
And so Angie came last night. You told us last night that you had MS.
Muscular dystrophy.
Oh, muscular dystrophy, MD, excuse me,
yeah.
For the last 10 years.
Yeah,
right?
10 years.
Lots of pain?
Horrible. I mean, I'm on 35 different meds. I mean,
and you
came, narcotics, you could be on two of them, fentanyl, which is 200 times stronger than morphine. So.
Wow. And you came last night in a wheelchair.
In a power wheelchair.
Yeah. And shaking uncontrollably. And then we prayed for you. And what happened? You went to the doctor's office today. I bet you their eyebrows were real high.
Yeah, I know. I think the receptionist just didn't even know what to say. The medical assistant came out and she's like, What happened? Aren't you in a wheelchair? Like, And I'm like, God, heal me. I mean, I don't know what, I was like, I went to revival last night. Never done anything like that. Have been struggling for a long, long time. I mean, pretty much just like resorted to the fact that I was going to die. Yes, I mean, that's what I've been being told for the last 3 years. I feel good.
Come
on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. Isn't that cool?
The doctors were so skeptical about her healing. They made her take 90 tests. She had to take 90 tests to prove to the doctor she didn't have it. She didn't have a drop of it in her blood. Come on, somebody. Not one drop of any sign of they gave her literally, they called it, I think it was 9 battery of exams. And so God is good. I said, God is good. Come on. Amen. And what she did was literally that day that I shot that second video, when I was standing with her friend Jenny, she went and she stood outside of the of the courthouse where her sister had just gone in to take the bar exam. And she was standing there outside, and the sister came out and literally had like a whole file of paperwork and stuff from taking the bar, and the sister fell on her knees just bawling like that. The sister got saved, the mother got saved, the whole family is born again. Including her doctor got saved. Come on, somebody. From one miracle. Isn't that amazing? And so that was really awesome with Angie. And so, but praise the Lord. Well, you're here tonight. This is your night. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, this is your night. I'm just going to read a scripture to you, and then we'll kind of shift gears here. I just want to read a scripture to you for the offering. But look over in Matthew before you do anything for an offering. Look in Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2 verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined what time the star appeared. And they sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. Everyone say, worship him. Okay, so three times he says worship in these scriptures. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star that they had seen in the east went before them. Oh, sorry, I jumped ahead. Yeah, no, I'm right. Okay. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star that they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. There's a second time. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, but they departed to their own country another way. So here, actually, a few different times it talks about worship, and never once does it mean clapping or singing. I'll say it one more time. In your Bible, New Testament, Matthew chapter 2, the scripture talks about they went to go worship Jesus, and never once did they lift their hands, clap their hands, or sing. How could they worship? Well, they worshiped the way that they had always done. Worship, biblical worship, back in the Old Testament, always was with, guess what? An offering. Come on, right? How many of you remember Abraham? The Bible says Abraham went with his son Isaac when the Lord said, I want you to sacrifice your young son Isaac. And so he and Isaac said to the people that were with him, he said, we're going to go up the mountain and we're going to worship the Lord. And Isaac immediately says, how can we worship without an offering? That's what Isaac said, the same exact same thing. And so here the wise men came to Jesus, and the way they worship was with an offering. Are you with me? All throughout the Bible talks about worship, all through the First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles. And every time you look at it, every single time, it always, somewhere in the midst of it, always has an offering. Come on. Amen. And so why? Because there was something in that act of giving that was worship to God. And that's what the wise men did. Here, these wise men, they were astrologers. They weren't even, you know, Jews. They were Babylonian, you know, astrologers. We would call them New Age people, but they wanted to come and worship the king. Come on, right? And the Bible says they saw a star in the east. In fact, if you ever want to watch a phenomenal movie, you can go and I think you have to purchase it. It might be online for free on YouTube. But it's called the Bethlehem Star movie, about this guy who investigates the Bethlehem Star and he finds out where the star was in the exact day and the exact hour that Jesus was born. He finds it out in a computer program that he has made. It's amazing, amazing movie. But the whole thing of the star was pointed to Jesus, and when they saw the star, the Bible says they went and they rejoiced, and they went and they immediately came to worship. And when they worshiped, they opened their treasures, it says. It didn't say they fell on their knees. The Bible says they opened their treasures. That's how they worship. You know what? That's how we worship. We worship with our money. Thank you for the incredible enthusiasm here tonight. It's a little too much, so Indiana, please. I'm sorry. I just had to clear my ears there for a second. It was just a little bit too much enthusiasm. But but there's something about whatever we give our money to, it's like our heart becomes attached to that thing, no matter what it is. If it's a white golf ball going in a hole, or if it's a purchasing spree or whatever it is, our hearts become attached to something with our money. Because why? Because our hearts are attached to our money. Come on, right? Amen. Why? Because it's like your heart is connected. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. And so here tonight, we want to do this. We want to give you an opportunity to sow a seed. We're in the midst right now of some needs in our ministry. And so you can help us and bless our ministry. That would be great. And so ushers, if you guys, do you have offering envelopes? Do you? If you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand real high. The ushers will get you an offering envelope. So just raise your hand real high. If you want to make out a check, make it to New Life. If you want to make out a check, make it to New Life. Hallelujah. And we'll worship the Lord with our giving tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, the cool thing is you're putting your offerings together. I'll just tell you something interesting. Many years ago when King Tut's tomb was open, because the time of King Tut, they were all into reincarnation. And because they were, they would always bury them with seeds. And so next to King Tut's tomb, there were jars set out in his sealed tomb. And when they opened his tomb, what was it, about 3,000 years old? And when they opened the tomb, right there next to where the young king was buried, were all these jars of seeds. 3,000-year-old seeds. And they took those seeds and they put them in the ground and they watered them. Guess what they did after 3,000 years? They grew. Amen. So tonight, Father, even as we plant our seed, Lord, we ask that you would multiply it, because it grows, it produces after itself, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. All right. So as you're receiving the offering there, I'll just share with you a couple things that we have in the back on the book table. I know that'll be a phenomenal blessing to you. We've written a couple of books on the subject of revival. How many of you know God's got revival for right here for Indiana? Come on. Amen. Right? So that's why we put this whole book together called Show Us Your Glory. We talk about what does a real biblical revival look like? What does a historical revival look like? And so we talk about everything from worship to prayer to sacrifice to fasting to everything. That's what Show Us Your Glory is. Then we wrote a book on divine healing, because so many people know us from the healing ministry. And so we wanted to write a book that was not only receiving healing, but also ministering healing. So that's what we did there. Then we just, last year, we wrote a book on how to hear the voice of God, because of the sheer fact that we saw so many people that were in, just had so many questions about hearing God's voice. How many of you would like to sharpen the voice of God in your own hearing? Anybody? Okay, cool. So that's why we put it together. I've got several chapters in here, and it's in a format that you can take notes in it. You can do it in a Bible study by yourself, or you can teach others and stuff. And I talk about the 10 ways that God speaks. I talk about prophetic dreams. How many of you dream at night? Anyone have a dream? Anyone dream? Okay. So one of the oldest ways that God spoke always was in dreams. God speaks to us in our dreams. You and I were talking about it, right? We were talking about a dream of snakes. How many of you ever had a dream of snakes? Raise your hand. Okay. Snakes are lies. The Holy Spirit is telling you there's a lie that he's trying to eradicate from your life. Come on, somebody. How many of you ever had a dream of a dog? Raise your hand. You ever had a dream of a dog? Okay. A dog is a friend. So what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? A friend, right? So what if in your dream a dog bit you? What is the Holy Spirit saying? A friend is gonna bite you or turn on you, all right? Okay. So dreams are prophetic parables that happen in the nighttime. And so I talk about all of those things. I talk about biblically interpreting a dream and stuff. And then we also did a conference last year on, we called it the Healing Conference. And we did this in Minnesota with John G. Lake Ministries. And we covered a whole gamut of topics, of all kinds of them. And we dealt with the subject of healing from healing is in the atonement, God's will for everyone to be healed, all kinds of different ones that we put in there as well. Lastly, we have an orphanage that is in Uganda. Last year, you guys sowed into it. You guys were awesome. You were a blessing. And we were able to erect a beautiful orphanage whereby we are able to reach these kids, 281 beautiful Ugandan little kids. Isn't that cool? One of them, this young kid had been abused for 10 years by his stepmother. His stepmother had tortured him for 10 years. And both his mother and his natural father both had died from the AIDS virus. And so we rescued this young boy as a young teenager. And he just begged us, let me just sleep in the orphanage even before it's done. We're like, brother, there's no food. There's no nothing. There's no beds. He said, at least it's dry. I mean, that's how desperate they were. So we ended up rescuing 281 kids. We give them food. We give them clothing every day. We give them two hot meals a day, as well as a spirit-filled church. Come on, somebody. Amen. Get them all saved. The way we do it is by people that help us and partner with us. Now, some of our partners do like 10 bucks a month. Some do 20. Some do 50, 100, or 1,000, or whatever. I got some business people that sow large amounts. But that's how we do it. Not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. If you would like to help us, every month we give back to our partners a free email that has a whole newsletter as well as all kinds of free messages that I've preached all over different parts of the world or even other ministers as well. We call it Revival Message of the Month. And so if you're interested in this, just raise your hand real high. Anyone? Okay, cool. Awesome, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Hey, cool. You take money. Thank you, sis. Appreciate you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. If you're interested, no pressure. But I know these kids would love it. Just that'd be great. Thanks, brother. And so we just call it Revival House. That's what we call it, Revival House. That's the word the Lord gave me. And there's 3.8 million orphans just in Uganda, where our orphanage is. So the need is so phenomenal. Do me a favor. There's no information on the card. If you're interested in helping us, fill it out. It does no good to just send a one-time donation because these crazy kids, they want to eat every day. Isn't that something? So how many of you want to eat every day? Just raise your hand. Anyone want to eat every day? Oh, okay. So the way that we do it is if you send that in, or if you just do your credit card and stuff, then monthly it just comes out, and then they get to eat every day. So it's just cool the way that works. So, okay. Tonight, I'm just going to kind of review last night, and then I'm going to open up a whole other thing here tonight, what I feel the Holy Spirit is saying. So if you got your Bibles, quickly go with me to Mark 11. So last night, we talked about several different things. Brother, would you help me? Would you help me real quick? Would you help me just move that up here in the middle, just so everyone could see it? If you could move it right up here by me, that'd be phenomenal. I don't know if, is Brad in here? Okay, that's cool. And if someone else can help him, that'd be great. Okay, Mark 11 says this, verse 20. Now in the morning, that as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, thank you, my brother and sister. Sorry, excuse me. Just leave everything on it because I'm going to use that. Thank you, thank you. Okay. So they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, right? And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And then it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Then he says in verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatever he says." Amen? Okay, so here last night we talked about this. We talked about believing. We talked about believing is connected to the heart. Right? Is that true? Right? And as well, doubt is connected to the heart. Okay? So both of those things that we see. And so Jesus makes it very clear to us in verse 23. He talks to us about believing. He talks to us about doubting. And he also talks to us about saying. He talks about the words of your mouth. Okay? So now I don't preach on this very much, but the Holy Spirit just really dealt with me last night about opening this up. So last night I was talking here because I brought up the word, actually, doubt. The word doubt means to stand in two places. So in the Greek, the literal translation is to stand in two places. So when you believe that God can, but you don't know if he will, you're instantly in doubt. Are you with me? And now, if you were my parent, now Pastor Rick was my father, and I said, and I came to him, and I said to him, if I said, "Dad, I love you. I know you can feed me. I just don't know if you will." I mean, that'd be awful. Are you with me? And so the mindset that's behind it is actually an abusive father. I mean, we were talking at lunch, at dinner tonight about some of this stuff. So some of the things that are perpetuated on God, if he were a man, he would be in prison. You understand? God allowed this, or God put this on you, whatever, this torturing, painful thing. I mean, if we would put a father in jail for that. We would say he's an unfit father. Is that true? Right? We would say he's an unfit father. So now watch this. I'm going to give you a scripture here in a second, but we're going to come back to this. I want to give you a scripture about this because I think it'll really set you free. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Actually, 2 Corinthians, excuse me. I got a new Bible. A new Bible is like a new house. Everything's there, but you can't find it. Is that true? Right? Help me, Pastor Rick, with... Okay, here it is. The temple of God. You are the temple of God. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Now, you'll be able to quote this scripture once I start it. 2 Corinthians 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness?" Is that true? Okay. "And what communion has light with darkness?" Is that true? Okay. "And what accord," or "what communion," one version says, "what communion has Christ with Satan?" Okay, now look up at me. So what am I saying? This is what I'm saying. He forbids us to yoke ourselves or be in fellowship, come on, with the unbeliever. True? Okay. And he correlates it to what fellowship or connection does Jesus Christ have with the devil? So that instantly destroys God and the devil are working together. God's allowing the devil to do this because right here the scripture says, what connection do the two have together? Come on, somebody. So if you're going to be healed, you instantly have to be fully persuaded that God's mind is made up regarding your divine healing. Everyone say, God's mind's made up. How do I know what God's mind's made up? Well, number one is his word. We know from his word, his promises. What else do we know? The life of Jesus. How many times did Jesus give someone a cancer to show him he loved him? Just please go to that verse and just show me that where that is. It's not in there, right? See, so these are just some things that demonstrate God's heart, God's thoughts about divine healing. So we must be fully persuaded. Hence, we must be in. Come on, help me tonight. This is a participation tonight. So we must be in. Okay. So we must be in faith. So where does faith come from? Faith is God's gift to us. Believing is our gift back to God. I'll say that again. The Bible says he has given to every man the measure of faith. So every man's been given faith. We've been given, that's God's gift to us. But our gift back to God, takes from the heart, it takes believing. Amen? So once we see that, my gift back to God is believing with the heart. So Jesus said it like this, therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not stand in two places in his heart, but believes that those things that he says shall come to pass. And then he ends it with, if you couldn't get it the first two times, he helps you one more time and says, he shall have whatsoever he says. Not whatever he believes, he'll have what he says. Come on, right? So here he uses that word. So this afternoon I was meditating and the Holy Spirit gave me a scripture for you. Just along this lines, over in Psalms 19. So, Psalms 19. Now, I know this is not popular. This is not, most preachers are not going to preach along this lines. You understand? They'll hoopla, shout, praise the Lord, and hallelujah four or five times, and try to get people just to agree with them just on Jesus was, you know, born in a manger. Okay, you know, I mean, and this is something real puddle deep. Come on, somebody. But it doesn't get people set free. This is going to get you set free. I said, this is going to set you free. So Psalms 19 says this. Now watch this. Are you ready? Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth. Okay, what's first? Or the mouth or the words, right? So the words are first. This is what we determined last night. Jesus started with the words first, right? Romans 10 says, for with the mouth confession's made unto salvation, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, right? Here it is again. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my be acceptable in your sight. See, it's always words first, then believing second. Come on. It's words first, then it's the heart second. So I want you to catch that tonight, okay? Now, that's all a warm-up. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. So 1 Corinthians 15. Hey, thanks, brother. All right. So here... So we have to realize this. God is not 50 shades of gray. I said, God is not 50 shades of gray. God is black and white. You hear me? God is not, well, it's very situational ethic. No, God is not situational ethics. Everything is black and white. Light, darkness, sheep, goats, wheat, tares. Come on, somebody. Amen? God is very black and white. God just completely draws a line between the two. He doesn't call it a problem. He doesn't call it a bad habit. He calls it sin. Come on, somebody. He doesn't say, well, you were born that way, so you can't... No, he just says that's sin. Come on, right? So the same thing is true regarding divine healing. God is very cut and dry, very black and white, and he makes it very, very clear to all of us. So here, I want to help you with something here tonight. So in 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 44, you got to get this tonight. If you don't get anything else this whole weekend, you got to get this revelation. So tickle your neighbor in the ribs. Say, get this tonight. Come on, tickle him a little bit, all right? All right. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. As so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However... the spiritual is not first. What? Is that what it says? Is that what the B-I-B-L-E says? The spiritual is what? Come on, say it out loud. Not first, but the... And then the spiritual. Come on, right? The first man, Adam, was made of the dust. The second man was the Lord from heaven. As was a man of dust, so are those who are made of dust. As was a heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. As we bore the image of the man of dust, so we'll bear the image of the heavenly man. So the natural's not, the spiritual's not first. So just like I quoted in Romans 10, for with the mouth confession's made unto salvation, and with the heart one believes. Let the words of my mouth, natural first, and meditation of my heart, spiritual second. Abraham has two sons. God comes to him the first time, says, Abraham, your descendants will be as of the sand of the sea. Natural first. Genesis 15, God comes and says, now your descendants will be as of the star of the heavens. So who was born first? Sand. But what was his name? Ishmael. Galatians says he was born the natural way. Then you have the spiritual, born second, Isaac. Come on, right? So natural's always first. Here, Noah. Noah's in the ark, right? 40 days, 40 nights. God's judgment. True? Right? There's one window in the ark. When the ark comes to rest, the Bible says this. It says that he took a bird. What bird did he take first? Nope. The raven. Natural first. Come on, right? Then secondly, he took the why? Because natural is always first, then spiritual. Come on, amen? All the way through. Who came first, Adam or Christ? Here, it just says here, Adam was the first Adam, and the last Adam was Christ. Hallelujah. Amen? Natural first, spiritual second. Always. I mean, I could take you through hundreds of different things here in the scriptures that begin to depict this exact same thing. So, go to James chapter 4. Amen. James chapter 4. This is the book of the Bible that Martin Luther didn't like. He wanted it out of the Bible. So James 4 says, verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Watch this. Verse 8, draw near to God and... who moves first? Natural or spiritual? Who moves first? We do. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So God reciprocates you. You say, I'm waiting on God. God says, no, you're not. Now go ahead. I'm waiting on you. God already moved. Jesus died, rose again, sat down. Guess whose move it is? It's our move. God, I want you to move in my finances. God says, I can't. Why? Because natural's got to come first. How do I do natural? Give and it shall be given unto you. Come on, what came first? Natural. Then the spiritual kicked in. Is that true? It's always natural first, then spiritual. People say, God, I want you to move. Lord, send revival to Rochester. Time out. What's first? So the spiritual can't come first. The natural has to come first. Meaning, you've got to get off your blessed assurance and get out into the city. Because the revival only takes place when the natural is instituted first, then the spiritual kicks in. God reciprocates us. Whatever we do, God does. I mean, 100 years ago, Smith Wigglesworth said the same thing. Smith Wigglesworth said, God does what I do. He said, if I do nothing, God does nothing. Come on, right? So Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. What comes first, salvation or calling? Calling, natural first, then the spiritual. Come on, right? The exact same thing all the way throughout the scriptures. I could show you 100 different examples like this, one after another after another. In healing comes the same way. Look over in Mark chapter 16, last chapter of Mark. Mark 16, 18. Glory, glory. Mark 16, 18. Verse 18 says, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. And they will lay what? Hands on the sick, and they... So what's first? naturals first. So you've got to lay hands before the sick are healed. Come on, right? So here Jesus is explaining this whole thing to us. It's the instant of it. That's why I wanted to show you the video of Angie. Are you ready for me to just totally burst your bubble? I felt absolutely nothing when I prayed for Angie. Nothing. Some people ask me, did God tell you to pull her out of the wheelchair? No, I just did it. God was waiting for me. I wasn't waiting for God. And I knew if I didn't pick her up, she would never stand up. Because Acts chapter 3 says, Peter and John went in the temple in the third hour of the day, and as they went in, they saw a man beggar sitting there begging alms, and he was waiting for them. And the Bible says, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says, Peter took him by the hand, and he rose up and stood. Natural first. Everyone shout natural first. So whatever it is that you want from God, whatever you want God to do in your life, it always begins with natural first. This is a total kingdom principle. I promised you last night I would preach the whole weekend on faith. So last night we talked about faith is released in words. Tonight I want to talk about faith is released in your actions. Your faith is released by your actions. But whatever you act, God does. Come on, right? Some people say, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was just in Montana. And as I was ministering in Montana, there were some people that wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they said, yes, but I want it only to be all God. I said, no such thing. Because outside of Acts chapter 2, every time people were baptized in the Holy Ghost, somebody laid hands on them. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19, every time hands were laid on. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, right? Why? Because God moved in the upper room. Now the Holy Spirit was here. Now He lives. Guess where He lives? In us. So if He lives in us, guess where He's got to be released from? Not from heaven. From us. Come on, amen? So from your hands. And the moment that you realize that and get that revelation that it's got to come by your hands, now all of a sudden you realize that we're in partnership with God. We're working together with God. In fact, stay here in Mark 16. I lost my place, but Mark 16. I don't know who this is for tonight, but this is for somebody. So Mark 16 says, verse 19, so then, after the Lord spoken to them, He was received up into heaven, and He sat down in the right hand of God, right? Nobody reads verse 20. Verse 20 says, and they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. The Lord, come on, working with them, not for them. They didn't stay at home and have a Coke and a smile. Jesus, we're going to sit at home and have a Coke and a smile and a bag of chips. And you go on out and you bring the revival. I'm going to just sit here and I'm just going to pray. That's my job is to pray. No, the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Come on, right? Am I saying that I don't believe in prayer? No, I believe in prayer. We pray, then we go do. Come on. Paul Young and Cho said that we pray and then we obey. Right? Come on, right? So once we begin to see that, now all of a sudden the kingdom of God begins to become easy. Now it's not a goofy thing. Now we understand this is how God operates. God needs the natural to start first. It has to start first with the laying on of hands. Angie was not healed, though she needed healing, the whole service until I laid hands. And as soon as I said to Angie, you couldn't hear it because of the poor quality of the video, but when I said to Angie, I said, Angie, look at me. I said, I bring you healing. I said, such as I have. Not such as God has. I have it. I said, I have it. Come on. Some people say, oh, we couldn't do it. Well, Peter could do it. Peter said he could. Peter said, such as I have. Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He didn't say God only has the treasure. No, Peter and John both said, no, we have it. Look at your neighbor. Say, I have it. Come on, tell someone. Say, I've got it. Come on, tell someone. Amen. Remember that old song? I've got it. I've got it. Amen. Remember that old song? Something about the Holy Ghost. Can't explain it, but I got it, right? So we've got it. What do we have? Do we just, oh no, I couldn't heal anything. When people say that, you never see miracles from them. Not only that, we were talking at supper. You never will find somebody who's, I didn't write this down, but you will never find somebody who believes in that Calvinistic mindset. You will never, ever, I challenge you, you'll never find anyone who believes in this whole sovereignty of God thing, sovereignty of God teaching from John Calvin, ever that has miracles. I challenge you. Never. You'll never find it. Why? Because they're standing in two places. God can, but we don't know if He will. And so they never see miracles. You will only find people that are fully convinced standing in one place. James says it like this: you have blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. This ought not be. Come on, somebody, right? So in other words, you've got doubt, which is the cursing, and you've also got blessing coming out of your mouth. And you're standing in two places. You're hot, you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. Come on, are you with me? And this is where many believers live, and they live in this realm because it's a safe place to live. And rather than stepping out and being willing to look stupid. I mean, I could have played it safe. Do you understand? I didn't have to pray for Angie. And everyone would have thought it was a great service. But Angie would have went home with that wheelchair. Now, here we are almost 12 months later. That was about 10 months ago with Angie. And so here it is, 10 months ago, Angie was healed. Now, I mean, the whole New Testament just came so alive to me through her more than anyone else because I kind of had to help Angie walk through. I didn't even think about it. This woman lived in a disability, a house of disabled people. She had no income. She had no money for food. She had no job. Come on, somebody. She was planning her funeral at 38, and now she's got to think about a resume because she's totally healed like you and I. So she had to plan on getting a place to live, a job, come on, right? Clothes. So I just ministered there just about a month ago. And so Angie came walking into the church just like she does. She just came in and she gave me the biggest hug. She says, here I am 10 months later, still healed. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Glory. So you'll never see miracles come from that, ever. Never, never. It can't. Because it's double-minded. Right? It's double-minded. But we know this, is that everything in the kingdom, just like we read, first begins with natural. Then the spiritual kicks in. Come on. Right? So it begins with the natural. The moment we begin to see that pattern of the Holy Spirit. So here we are in Montana, and as we're there in Montana, this guy says to me, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I said to him, I said, well, tonight you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I've been prayed for before. I said, yeah, but tonight's a different night. And that was the night I shared with him this thing right here about natural and spiritual, and it totally changed his whole life. And he said, I have to do something. I said, yes. He said, I have to make sound when someone prays for me, and the Holy Ghost gives, come on somebody, unction or utterance, and tongues come from that. I said, yes, you got it. That's it. I laid hands on him. Boom, he spoke in tongues. He was weeping and crying, and the power of God filled that guy, totally changed his life. Come on, amen, hallelujah. But it began with the revelation of it has to begin with natural. And this is where many people, they love this spooky spiritual stuff where they say, well, it's just all, God is so mysterious. You're so stupid. You could never understand him. And so just God is so mysterious. And it, what it does is it puts God so far up there that it makes you not want to be in relationship with him. But what this does is say to you and I, hey, God has desired to come and live in us. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit desired to live inside of every single one of you. So what's he doing in you? Just waiting for heaven? Is he just waiting for the rapture? Is that all he's waiting for? No. He's waiting for believers to do anything. The moment a believer does something, he is activated. So go back to that verse again. Verse 20. Mark 16:20. And they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. So, now I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You know, if I called up James, I said, hey, come on up to Minnesota and help me re-roof my house. Right? And he came up to Minnesota and I had the ladder and all the nails and everything ready to go. And he gets up on top of the roof and he's hammering away and it's hot, you know. But he's going about 45 minutes later, he's like, hey, where's Tom? After 45 minutes, he's coming down that ladder. So he comes down, he comes inside. There I am laughing. I got a, you know, big thing of iced tea in my hand. And I'm watching the ball game with the clicker and stuff. Hey, James, how you doing? How's it going up there? And he's like, hey, wait a minute. I came up here to help you. Not to do it, but to help you. What does help mean? It means together, right? It means we're both going to do something. Is that true? So guess what? Are you ready? The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the helper, not the doer. James calls the believer the doer. James says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Come on, somebody. But the Holy Spirit is called your? So that doesn't mean he's going to do it all and you're just going to sit there in the sun, you know, sit there and watch television and the Holy Ghost is doing all the work. No. It doesn't work that way, sweetie. You got to do something. That's how the book of Acts came to pass. It's not, like I said last night, it's not the book of notes. It's the book of Acts. And the way it was the book of Acts wasn't because the Holy Ghost was out doing it and the disciples were sitting at home, you know, playing dominoes or something. Come on. No, the disciples were out doing it, and as they were doing it, the Holy Spirit was helping them, right? Amen? So it's the same thing is true with us, is that we see him helping. So last time I was here at your church, I went from here and I ministered over in Richmond. Right after I left here, I went to Richmond. And I went to another one. Oh, Jesus, that was a rough church. Pastor Rick came down and Pastor Rick was like, man, I couldn't wait for that service to get over with. He said, that was rough, man. He was there for the whole service beginning to the end and not one person greeted him. Even after I publicly introduced him, not one person shook his hand. But anyway, so I was in Richmond afterwards, and so I'm ministering in Richmond in this church. And long story short, we were doing some street evangelism and ministering to people. And I met this girl and her mom and dad, 19-year-old girl, pregnant, 8 months pregnant. And she gets saved. And she says to me, after she gets saved, I told her, you need to get water baptized. And she said, well, how? And I said, I don't know, but we need to get you water baptized. So she says, well, where? How is this going to happen? And so I said, well, you got a bathtub? And she said, yes. And I said, I'm coming to your house tomorrow afternoon at the same time. And I want your mom and dad, and her mom and dad were there. And I said, I want all of your family there for this service. She goes, oh, that'd be great. Okay. So I meet her at the house. As I meet her at the house, and I mean, the whole family's there, and it was awesome. It was powerful. And here I got a chance to pray with the parents to rededicate their lives to Christ, and I prayed for the dad's healing. He got healed. And then we all, the whole family and myself, we all went into the bathroom. And there I took Amanda and I went and I baptized her in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And she comes up out of the water and she was speaking in other tongues. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. But I was telling her, I said, listen, I said, you need to get water baptized. And so she said, why? I said, because we have to bury the old Amanda now because she's going to stink pretty soon. Bible calls that the old man. Come on, right? So the old man's got to get buried. Otherwise, he'll stink after a while, right? That's where you get stinking thinking. Come on, right? And it totally changed your life. We were up in Wisconsin just 5-6 weeks ago when I saw Angie. And while we were there, I led this guy to Christ. I mean, God whacked this dude. I mean, this guy was bawling his eyes out. I mean, just he and his wife were newlyweds. They were like 2 months married. He gives his life to Christ. This guy is, I mean, I'm just trying to hold this guy together. He was crying so hard. And, man, I can't think of his name right now. But anyways, he went and I said to him, I think it was Adam. And I just said, you need to get water baptized. And I said to him the same thing. Because he said, well, why? And I said, well, because the old you is going to stink pretty quick here, I said. So I said, we need to baptize it as quick as we can so that you could rise to new life and shed that old, you know, that old you off. So I went and I turned to the pastor that was with me and I said to the pastor, can we use your church and can we have a baptismal service? She said, absolutely. So she got a feeding trough, a horse feeding trough, and we filled that sucker up. They were real nice. They put warm water in it, thank God, because it was, that would have been cold, you know. And so he was real thankful that it was warm. And so, yeah, he got in there. And the moment I baptized him, he come out of the water just weeping and speaking in tongues. And God touched him, natural first, then spiritual. Come on, right? And as he comes up out of the water, I went and I said, who else here, you need to be baptized in water? Come right now. And I just waited. Everyone's looking around. And one woman started weeping. She had a beautiful suit on and necklace and everything. She says, I've been putting this off for decades. She says, I'm doing it right now. And so the church said, we have clothes that you can go home in. You can, you know, be dry in. She goes, I don't care. I just need to do this. And so she gets in the water. I mean, the Holy Ghost whacks this lady. She gets baptized, right? So as soon as she comes up out of the water, I had all the women lay hands on her and they're prophesying over her and stuff. Man, now a husband and wife come running down. Why? I started this in the natural with the one guy. And it dominoed. And it ended with a guy who was a meth addict for 15 years. This guy was addicted to meth and gave his life to Christ. And he was struggling. He was struggling in his mind with going back to drugs. And this guy came over and he wanted to get water baptized. And it totally, completely changed his life. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Come on, right? But it always begins natural. The moment that happens, it's like you start a snowball effect of things. Just like we were talking about evangelism. You rarely feel led to do it. Are you with me? You know, you rarely feel led to go to the dentist. Huh? How many of you hate going to the dentist? Dear God, set us free from the dentist, you know. Probably the most hated man in the city, you know what I mean? But you go anyways, right? You know what I mean? So, but it's the same thing is true with evangelism. Rarely do you feel led to evangelize. Some people are waiting. They say this. Are you ready? Ooh, I'm going to shoot a religious cow. Watch this. This is going to be fun. They say, Lord, I don't have the gift. How can I do it? Nothing begins as a gift. Everything begins in the kingdom as a function. Some people say, I don't have that gift, so I don't have to do it. God doesn't say, thank me. You'll get that later. That's a bad joke. Okay. So God doesn't say, you don't have the gift, so you are exempt. You know what God says? Do the function. Everyone's called to the function. Everyone's called to win souls. Everybody in this building. If you are born again, Jesus is in your heart. I don't care who you are, male, female, old, young, doesn't make any difference what you are. You're called to win souls. Come on, right? Everybody's called to win souls. God doesn't say, well, that's not your gift, sweetheart. That whole theology is bad theology. God's called us all to kingdom activity. But everything in the kingdom begins here. And God may lead it into a gift. But as we begin to do the works, that's why Mark 16 doesn't say, these signs will follow those that have gifts. It says, these signs will follow those that... So believing is that natural part that we can, all of us, we believe. And the moment we believe, we activate the Spirit. Are you with me? So some people see healing, they see me pray for the sick, and they say, I don't have the gift, so I am exempt, I don't have to do it. I'll come to you to get healed, but I don't need to do it. I say, time out, wrong, bad theology. You are all called to heal the sick. If you're a believer, Mark 16 says that's what you're called to do. Come on. God says, do the function. Forget about the gift. Stop thinking about the gift. Come on, right? But just do the function. Do the function of the Spirit. Do the function of the kingdom. And as you do the function of the kingdom, you activate the spiritual. Tonight, some of you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need it. Come on. Well, how am I going to get it? I've been tearing. I had this one lady say to me, I've been tearing for 30 years. I said, how's it going? She goes, not good. She was from Mississippi. I said, if you were going, this was in Tupelo, Mississippi. I said, if you were going from Tupelo to Oklahoma City and 30 years later, you're not there. Are you on the right road? I mean, could you imagine if Pastor Rick called you up and said, man, I've been driving for 3 days and I'm still not in Kokomo. You would have to ask him immediately, hey, we love you, but you're going the wrong way or something. You're on the wrong road. Come on, help me here tonight, right? Is that true? That's what I said to this lady. I said, you're on the wrong road. Stop tearing and just receive. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. And once the natural, once we lay hands, once hands are laid, function, it activates. The natural activates the spiritual. Then healing comes. But it begins by us, by faith. And as you do this by faith, you activate the supernatural. The supernatural is activated. It's like it's connected. There's a connection point to it. I heard many years ago, John Wimber from the Vineyard said that he took his family to Cape Canaveral. And he said, we had this guide who was so smart that he said he was talking way above my pay grade. He said, I got bored. He said, I'm like looking around at all the space, you know, ships and stuff. And he said, as I'm looking around at the spaceships, he said, the man says something, and I felt God's presence. And he said, I said to the man, could you say that again? And the man said, the guidance chip on the space shuttle kicks in at 5 miles in the air. And Pastor John said, why does the guidance chip kick in at 5 miles in the air? And the man said, because, dummy, you don't need guidance if you're just sitting on the pad. Pause, Selah. Come on. You don't need guidance if you're sitting on the pad. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about you. Come on, right? So will you put that song Holy Ghost on for me tonight, just quietly? So tonight, what is the Holy Spirit saying? The Holy Spirit is saying this. The whole kingdom of God is very simple. It's very simple. It's not hard. Romans 10 says it's not hard. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we speak. Let's bring it down about halfway. So he says, the word of faith is in your mouth and in your heart. What's first? Mouth. For healing. If you want to be healed, come on. Right? It has to be that faith element of the natural first. Once the natural, like Angie, she wasn't healed even when I just laid hands. Now listen to me. When I took and picked her up out of the wheelchair, yeah, they didn't catch the before part, but when I picked her up out of the wheelchair, I said, Angie, you're going to walk now. Everyone asked me after the service, did God tell you that? I said, no, I told God that. I'll say that again. God didn't tell me to do that. I did that, and God said, amen, Tom, I agree. Because He does what I do. He does what you do. If you say, well, I don't do anything. Well, that's what He does. Come on, right? So then what is God saying tonight? Hey, get off your blessed assurance. Get busy. Come on, right? Because as you begin to do something, as you begin to do the natural, the spiritual kicks in. I mean, if you really want revival, God, we want revival in this city. Right? We want revival. God, that's what we want. God, send it. God, send it. God, send it. God, send it. God says, why do you think you're there? Do something. As you do something, God blesses it and ignites it into a revival. Come on, right? Something happens when you do something. The moment you do something. I remember, I'll just share one last testimony and then we'll pray for people. We were ministering up in northern Minnesota, where Judy Garland's from. Okay, if you ever watched The Wizard of Oz, God forgive you if you did. All right. So, Judy Garland's hometown. And so, we're ministering there. And we were taking people out evangelizing. So, we're getting people all fired up about evangelism. So, the first night, this woman tells me, I don't have the gift, but I would really love to have the gift. So I just thought, well, I can't fix it all in one night. So I'm not going to, you know, bicker over it. So I just didn't say anything. So after 4 days of her going out with us, ministering to the sick on the streets and praying for people and stuff like that, she was so fired up. She was so on fire. We were sitting there and the last service just ended and the pastor said, let's go out to Denny's to get something to eat. So we go out to Denny's. As we go out to Denny's, we're sitting in the restaurant and the woman said to me, she said, what's holding back revival in Grand Rapids. I can't think of the name of the town. But she says, what's holding back revival? I said, you. She said, what? I said, yeah, you're the only thing stopping it. The devil and all of his cousins aren't stopping it. You're the only thing stopping it. She was stunned that I said that. She said, well, I'm going to stop that right now. And she stood up in Denny's and she went, I swear to God, she went table to table to table to table. And in a matter of 45 minutes while we're eating, she won the entire restaurant to Christ. Come on, somebody. She won 24 people to Christ in 45 minutes. Come on, somebody. People are weeping and eating their food. And I mean, the glory of God hit that building. Everybody is weeping. People came over and said, can I get extra prayer for this? Can I get prayer for that? You know what it was? Was God waiting? Or excuse me, was she waiting on God? Or was God waiting on her? The moment she just did something, God blessed it and it ignited a revival. Come on. Amen. Every single revival began this way. Where Pastor came from was one of the greatest revivalists the world has ever seen in 2,000 years, Charles Finney. I mean, a whole city came to Christ. Bars shut down. Policemen were out of business for years. Seriously, the police had to shut down. The police became quartets, right? They had to sing in churches. There was no crime for years in upstate New York. because of Finney. He ruined all the crime up in upstate New York. All the bars were out of business, you know? And what made all the preachers mad in all of New York was when Finney said this. Finney said, I can have revival anytime I want. That's what made him mad. They were all Calvinists. They're waiting on God. Well, if God wants to, if it gets bad enough, you know? And they're sitting there waiting. And here Finney says, I can have revival anytime I want, any place I want. And they were shocked that he would have that kind of boldness. But he proved it all over the Northeast. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I want to drop that seed into your heart tonight. I was going to share this message tomorrow night, but I really felt like God was saying to share it tonight. And I don't know, who felt like this message was for you tonight? Anybody who felt like this message was for you? Okay, cool. So it begins natural. Amen. It begins natural. Tell your neighbor, say, it begins in the natural. Come on, tell someone else, say, I'm going to start to do something. Come on. So right now, all over the house, just lift your hands. Father, I pray right now for every person in the name of Jesus. Right now for ridiculous boldness from this night forth. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that there's nothing, there's nothing. There's no curse. There's no demonic curse. There's no demonic bondage. There's no principalities or powers or all of their cousins that can stop the Holy Ghost that lives in all of us. So whatever city they're from or whatever church the people are from here tonight, there's no miracle too big for them to be used in to minister healing. They can do it anytime, any place, anywhere, because of God's goodness that's on them, because of the Holy Spirit that lives in them. Thank you, Jesus. Say this out loud. Say, tonight, I hear the word. I'm going to do what God's challenging me. I'm going to step out of fear, and I'm going to step in faith. I'm going to do the word and not just hear it. From this night, the revival goes through me. I expect God's power to flow through my hands, that every blind eye, that every deaf ear, every dying person is healed when I pray for them. The kingdom of God is advanced. People get saved when I just open my mouth, because of God's hand on my life. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that tonight, give the Lord the biggest hand clap you can. Woo! Can you help me with this? Can you help me move this? Yeah. So praise God. Well, tonight, before we pray for some sick people, I just feel in my heart there's some of you tonight that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled tonight. And all I want you to do is tonight is just to expect. And you got to remember, though, that we're going to lay hands natural. Spiritual kick in. You do something in the natural. You make sound. The Holy Ghost doesn't talk in tongues. You talk in tongues. I said the Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. He doesn't need to. You need to. Come on, right? How many of you, that was a big revelation when you first were filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, for me, it was a huge revelation. I'm waiting for God. He's going to do it. He's just going to grab my mouth. And it never happened. And all of a sudden I realized, I've got to do something. Come on. Natural first. Everyone say natural first, right? So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, I just checked with God. He's in a wonderful mood tonight for it. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just raise your hand real high. Anyone? You want to be filled with the Spirit? Okay. Two. Anyone others? Any others? You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues? Okay, guys, both of you come on up here to your right. I just sense there's at least a couple more others that want to be filled with the Spirit. Just come on up here, stand next to Him. There's at least one or two others that you want this. And your heart's beating fast and you wish I'd shut up. But if that's you, this is your opportunity. If you've never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues, quickly raise your hand. I won't embarrass you. I promise you. I give you my word. All right. Anyone else? Quickly. Don't wait. You? Yeah. Come on up. All right. Jump next to him. All right. Both. Oh, go for it. That's cool. That's great. All right. Going once. Going twice. Is there someone else? I just really feel in my heart. Your heart's beating fast because you know this is you. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. That's you. Yeah, but they don't do it in my church. Well, you're not in your church. You're in his church. His church does it. All right. I won't embarrass you. Just another second. I'll just wait. Anyone else? Quick, quick, quick. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I like to teach people. I'm a trainer, so I like to train people. Because if I just do it, you go, ooh, wow, that's cool, awesome. But then you don't learn. So, all right, my sis, come. You came all the way from Gary. Come on up. All right. You, my sis, come as well. Come, you're going to help me pray for these. Just stand in front of them. All right. You, my sis, come as well. Come on up. Yeah, just jump in front of him. All right. This is the ladies' night, I guess. So all three ladies. All right. Then we're going to pray for some sick people, and then we're going to bless you. All right? Okay. So every language is made of sounds and syllables, right? So if you speak in Spanish, you have to make sound and syllable, right? But the difference is a language you speak in that you know, your brain knows what you're saying, right? So as I'm speaking English, you know that I know what I'm talking about, right? But this is a language that you don't even know what you're saying. So you have no idea what you're even saying to God. Where is it coming from? It's coming from here, but you are giving voice to it. And as you make those sounds, it comes. The more sound and noise you make, the more comes with it. You understand? And so the rest of you in the congregation, just stretch your hands up here toward your friends. All right? So all three of you do this. Pray with me. Pray this. Say, Dear Lord, tonight I rededicate my life afresh. Tonight I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. As soon as they pray for me, I'll be filled with the Spirit and I'll speak in other tongues in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right, ladies, just lay hands on them and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. Come on, help them right now. Shinde matoyoto kolobara. No more in English right now. Just come over here, my sis. Come over here. Pray for him, huh? There it is. There it is right there. Just speak those sounds out. No more English. Make those sounds. God knows what you're saying. Father, fill him right now. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Almost like you make it up at first and then it flows. Shipe, sapa. Natural first. Sute. Bingdi. Mata doko lova dana masa tasa. Jingdi yatakalabara no sotola. In the name of Jesus. Paya Sokolova Dada Do Sokola. Will you help me, Pastor? Just help me pray for him. Jesus' name. Come on, congregation, help us tonight. Just stretch your hands. Just pray in the Spirit. God's changing their whole lives right now. Their whole life will change this night of June of 2017 when they were filled with the Spirit. Bing Domola. Bambo Sekitelo. In the name of Jesus, be filled, 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 be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to open your mouth. God's not going to open your mouth. You have to do natural first. Shipa forene, make sound. Just make sound. Shibe sambanapa kala varadasa handa diri setesha zongdevi kite tita lumba bongdede denglaras. That's it. Come on, a little bit louder, church. Come on, press in. Father, we worship you with our heavenly language tonight. Shibdivita, mombre manamando, rabaspatasa, katsakala, zonde tita, hando tita, labambo bar, nanasadala, jola la la namakata, didite sika, jeng debero, dondore, cambra. You won't know what you're saying, but you're not praying to yourself. You're praying to God anyway, so it doesn't matter what you're saying. Sike tika takala mamam. Bing zababa bamanadi ya tukolobo. Bum je bam ming nan do bam bum ban do 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 de saba. Gam baba bas parada. Gam rebes pishe. Father, fill him, fill him, fill him. Speak that out. You've got to do natural first. Natural first. Natural first. Just make sound. There it is. Just make sound. She, vi, sa, tu, ka. There it goes right there. Ding zamo, gamboba, damboba, dangoba. That's it. More Lord. More Lord. More Lord. Take a sita. Take a salaba. Father, fill him tonight with the Holy Ghost. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him. Jump in. Jump in. Just go for it right now. Help him.
Help on that side.
Help on the other side. No more English. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Sokoloba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Ramara. Gumbri Bavam. Mambon Denamande. Dengle. Kambrabas Foshoto. Zegtaba. Natural first. Natural first. Sote. Sing divito. Kolobambo ba rabas fasciseta. Zumba vivekete yata kaleba. Jigde diata kalama mama manda diya sotuloba. Sing diviti tiki yata kalaba bam bam bo da da. There it goes. Right there. That's it. Just speak that out. That's it. Just speak that out. Come on. All three of them are getting it. Come on. Help us tonight. Just one more minute. God's filling them right now. Hallelujah. Pandi de tetisa. Pore da da banananda. Bing de be de dando de de shiti telebedo so bolovo. Thank you, Jesus. Father, fill him, fill him, fill him, fill him, fill him, fill him. Fill him right now. Bomba banana mara. Da 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 base. She said, God, give him supernatural dreams tonight, even right now, all of them. God, everyone in the room right now, let us have supernatural Holy Ghost dreams. Sibdi vitato, tonde bandute, sigdi vicata, dingza bambando, bombando, ris, banana. Come on, just 30 more seconds. Everything you got, just for the next 30 more seconds. Sikateba, bamzoboda. Just congregation, grab hands with someone next to you. Just pray in the Holy Ghost for them right now. Shiba, momramos, boshasoba, bingzabara, nana namade, didididi bespo, bamzabadanando, bumbandando, ribas bashata. Bing da ba da bam bam ba dam bom bam bo da da ma. Jiba venia tuko. Come on, pray for them right now. Just release God's kingdom. Release God's presence on them. Release God's blessing on them right now. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Sambo baro. Rododosa. Zigtibita. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, glory. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap in the house. Come on, somebody. Jesus! Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You can be seated. Bless you guys. So, you can be seated. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Bless you. Yes, sir. Bless you, bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to share something with you that'll help you, all three of you guys that received. Now listen, all three of you guys that received tonight, that we prayed for you, you say in your natural mind says, yeah, but I don't know what I said. You don't have to know what you said, because you weren't praying to yourself, were you? Who are you praying to? God. So, He knows what you said. You might have been praying for yourself. You might have been praying for this church. You might have been praying for family. Who knows what you're praying for? But that's what God bypassed your brain and prayed supernaturally through you as you released it. Amen. Come on. Isn't that great? Come on. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, you're a pastor, right? The Lord told me to say to you tonight that, man, revival is like going to break in your church. Some new awesome things in your church, brother. The Lord's moved some obstacles, the Lord said, for me to tell you. Some obstacles have been removed, and some people that have held you back for a long time, the two have been holding back hundreds. And so now it's time to just run with fire. Just run with it. Just run with it. Just run with it. Yeah. Yeah. Brother, you're the the Nazarene pastor, or what church you go to? You're Nazarene, yeah. The Lord just keeps speaking to me tonight as I was preaching about the gifts of the Spirit. I just keep hearing the gifts of the Spirit are going to start to flow in your ministry there like never before. And I just see a free flow of the Spirit, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God's going to use you. God's going to use you, brother. Pastor Rick, I just keep seeing this in my heart. Yesterday included, I was going to prophesy it last night, but just the Lord won't let me loose of it. I just keep seeing the word of knowledge is going to increase. The word of knowledge will increase in your ministry like never before. Like you'll call out things you would never have done before. And I just really just see the Lord just challenging you in it. Like this is just all weekend's just a Holy Ghost challenge. Amen. So praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And brother, I just see the Lord mixing with your evangelism. I just see Him really mixing the supernatural. And it's going to take it to a whole new level. It's going to be a whole new level. Deeper fruit, better fruit. And, deeper conversions and just incredible disciples made. I just really see God using you in that. And so I just really feel that's a word for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And my sister, you guys came a long ways, right? You came a long way. And the Lord just keeps speaking to me all weekend about you gals as well. And just, you're going to go home with a renewed compassion. It's just the word I keep getting for both you ladies, compassion. And I just see you just going into Walmart and just weeping for people and praying for people. And just the Lord's going to use you guys. So bless you, bless you, bless you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for it tonight. For your kingdom and your power that's here, that's ministering to every single person. And both of you guys all the way from Michigan, I just see the Lord taking you back in whole new revelation. Just like I just see like a whole world is opening up to you guys. And I just see you guys doing like small groups, like small group discipleship there in your community. And people have never been discipled. I just see you guys really reaching out and grabbing them and ministering to them and them really coming to Christ. And so, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Come, my sister. You want to be healed. Come, come. She's got something going on. She's got something going on with her back and her neck. There's others here tonight. You have tons of back issues. The Lord wants to heal you tonight. Who is that tonight? Tons of back issues. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Neck and anything skeletal. I just keep seeing something skeletal. Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Have skeletal problems. Neck, back, all the way down. All right. So just come on up. I was healed dramatically over 30 years ago myself of this same thing. And so I was in a bad shape, and the Lord healed me. And so tonight the Lord's going to heal you guys. All right. So tonight, if it's your neck, just put your hand on your neck. If it's your hips or your back, just put your hips on your back or your back. All right. So I'm just going to pray a general prayer. Holy cow. Half the church came up. Holy cow. All right. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just speak healing to your back. I just command every vertebrae to go back into place. Lord, tonight I just see like a Holy Ghost massage taking place on people's bodies right now. All the pain going out of them, all the inflammation going out of their spinal column, out of their neck, every vertebrae popping back into place. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command right now all the swelling in the name of Jesus. We command you to be healed. Be healed, be healed.